You know that moment when you're just lying in bed, it's like 11 p.m. and you realize you are completely out of coffee beans for the morning.
A total disaster.
Exactly. A crisis.
Yeah.
So you pull out your phone, you tap that buy now button, and then miraculously, a fresh bag of coffee is just sitting on your porch the next afternoon. I mean, it feels like actual magic.
It really does.
But you know, the reality behind that button is infinitely more complex and honestly a lot more interesting. So welcome to another deep dive. Today we are exploring the hidden mechanics of modern logistics. We are unpacking that invisible world that just spins into action the second your thumb leaves that screen.
And it really is an invisible world to most of us. Like, we see the cardboard box on the porch, right? We see the delivery truck driving around the neighborhood. But the central nervous system connecting those two things is entirely hidden from view.
Completely it.
And understanding that hidden system is really crucial for critical thinking in our modern economy. Because in a supply chain that's this tightly wound, there is no such thing as an isolated mistake.
Okay, so let's unpack this because we tend to think of warehouses as just giant static storage
Like
units.
a big garage.
Yeah, just places where things sit and collect dust. But the research we're diving into today,
Not yet.
it's this incredibly comprehensive operational guide from RSS Inc. titled Warehouse Workers: Roles, Risks, and Operational Impact. And it flips that static image completely.
It really does.
It paints a picture of modern warehouses as these massive living computers. And the warehouse workers, they're the ones actually executing the code.
I love that analogy.
Yeah, so our mission today is to look at how this execution layer actually operates and how the role of that person in the Hy-Vee's vest is just rapidly evolving.
Framing it as executing code is incredibly accurate, honestly, because if you think about it, every small inefficiency at the worker level,
Like a misplaced item.
exactly, a misplaced item or even just a delayed barcode scan, it doesn't stay isolated to that one building. It cascades outward.
Wow,
Yeah,
okay.
a 10-second delay becomes a missed truck departure,
Right.
which becomes a global shipping bottleneck, which ultimately means, your coffee doesn't arrive.
And nobody wants that.
Yeah.
So let's zoom in on that execution layer. If we follow that bag of coffee, it doesn't just get tossed into a massive room.
Right.
The RSS materials outline this really continuous flow of operations. But instead of just, listing them out like a textbook, let's try to visualize the journey.
Sure, let's do it.
So a massive semi-truck backs up to a dock door. The worker there isn't just hauling boxes. The guide says they're engaged in receiving,
Right, receiving.
which means they're inspecting the inbound pallets, scanning them, and like reconciling physical pallets against advanced shipping notices in the database.
And that data validation is the first critical checkpoint.
Okay.
Because once it's validated, you move into the next phase, which is placement. But placement isn't just, finding an empty spot on a shelf anywhere.
It's not just shoving it wherever it fits.
No, not at all. It's a highly calculated algorithmic decision. Fast-moving items, like everyday coffee
Hey,
beans.
essentials.
Exactly. Those might be placed much closer to the packing stations, whereas a niche high-end espresso machine,
Something that doesn't sell as often.
right, that gets routed way to the back.
Makes sense. Which sets up the phase that I think everyone actually pictures:
Yeah.
picking and packing.
Yes, the classic image.
Right, that's the worker actually fulfilling your specific order. And then it moves to shipping, getting routed to the correct outbound truck.
Correct.
But the guide points out that overlaid on all of this is constant auditing, just this continuous cycle of verifying that what the computer says is there is actually physically there.
The reality check.
Exactly. But what genuinely surprised me in this research is how dramatically the job changes depending on the actual building you're in.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, not all warehouses are created equal.
Far from it. The environment entirely dictates the worker's skill set. I think the most common confusion out there is between a distribution center and a fulfillment center.
Yeah, I definitely use those interchangeably before reading this.
Most people do, but a distribution center is engineered for high volume outbound speed to businesses.
Okay.
Think moving massive shrink-wrapped pallets of goods to restock retail stores.
So big scale, bulk.
You're dealing entirely in bulk. A fulfillment center, on the other hand, is engineered for extreme precision.
Like the coffee order.
Right. That's where a worker is picking individual items, packing them into individual boxes, and labeling them for a single consumer, like you.
Okay, so that's a huge difference in the day-to-day work. And then you throw in cold storage,
Oh, yeah.
which sounds straightforward, but the guide talks about strict regulatory temperature compliance. Like, you can't leave a pallet of frozen goods on the dock for an extra 10 minutes while you sort out some computer glitch.
Exactly. The clock is always ticking there.
But the facility type that really caught my eye was cross-docking.
That's a fascinating one.
Yeah. The research describes this as rapid sorting with basically zero storage. So it's not even really a warehouse in the traditional sense, is it?
No, it's really not.
I was thinking it's more like a high-speed relay race, like a baton handoff.
That is the perfect visualization. In a cross-docking facility, inventory is actually a liability. Yeah, the goal is continuous momentum. Goods arrive on an inbound truck. They are immediately broken down, sorted, and loaded straight onto outbound trucks.
Just constantly moving.
Constantly. It's highly utilized for perishable goods or, you know, rapid retail restock, where every single hour reduces the value of the product.
Wow. Wait, so I want to push back a little on how society generally talks about this whole sector.
Okay.
Because when you look at what these workers are actually doing.
Reconciling data, algorithmic decisions.
Yeah. Reconciling data, making those algorithmic placement decisions, routing shipments through digital interfaces. Is it actually accurate to just dismiss this as quote-unquote manual labor?
No, and I think the terminology we use is lagging decades behind the reality of the work.
Right.
The data makes a very clear distinction between warehouse workers and, say, adjacent corporate roles.
Like what?
Well, like a logistics coordinator. They're sitting at a desk planning schedules. Or an inventory analyst who is looking at historical data to forecast trends.
Okay, sure.
But the warehouse worker, they are the vital flashpoint where digital data actually meets physical reality.
Oh, I like that. They are the bridge.
Precisely.
Because the digital inventory system says, we have 5 bags of Colombian rose in aisle 4, bin C.
Right.
But the computer doesn't actually know if that's true. The warehouse worker is the reality check that says, yes, I am physically looking at it, it's not crushed or leaking, and I've scanned it into the outbound workflow.
Which means they aren't just using their muscles, you know. They are actively validating digital truth.
Validating digital truth. That's a great way to put it.
And because they are that crucial bridge between the cloud and the concrete floor, their performance has to be hyper-optimized.
Which is a perfect pivot. Let's get into the mechanics of that optimization.
Let's do it.
Because if the worker is the bridge, management's entire job is basically ensuring traffic moves across that bridge as frictionlessly as possible.
Exactly.
And the research details how this is achieved through these incredibly specific productivity drivers.
5 of them, mainly.
Right. And the most fundamental one mentioned is travel path optimization, which is literally mathematically reducing the distance a worker walks.
Yeah. I mean, in a million square foot facility, bad routing is the absolute enemy of throughput.
Just walking back and forth.
Right. If a worker walks an extra 100 unnecessary steps for every single order over an 8-hour shift, that translates to miles of wasted physical effort and hours of lost productivity. It's essentially the traveling salesman problem applied to a concrete floor.
That is wild. Which logically leads to the next mechanism they outline, task batching.
Yes.
And let me use an analogy here. Tell me if this makes sense.
Go for it.
If I need milk, eggs, bread and butter from the grocery store, I don't walk in, get the milk, drive home, then drive back to get the eggs.
No, you'd be exhausted.
Right. I write a list and I map out a single continuous route through the aisles to get everything at once.
Exactly.
And the warehouse software does this for hundreds of orders simultaneously. It groups them so the worker minimizes their travel time across the board.
It does. And you add to that real-time data access through wearable tech.
Oh, the wearables.
Yeah, the worker isn't searching blindly for items that might have been moved. The system guides them to the exact coordinate.
Like GPS for a shelf.
Exactly. You pair that with ergonomic workflow designed to reduce the physical toll of, you know, bending and lifting.
Right. Saving their back.
Yeah. And standardized procedures. So there is zero ambiguity in how a task is executed. Every single motion is choreographed.
Okay, so here is the revelation from the text that actually blew my mind.
What was it?
Well, we've all seen the cultural stereotype, right? The angry floor manager yelling at people to just move faster or work harder.
Right, the classic bad boss trope.
Exactly. But the operational data explicitly states that systemic constraints.
Things like poorly designed layouts.
Yes. A bad layout, a lagging computer system, or even just bad Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It limits performance significantly more than a worker's actual effort level.
It's so true.
So what does this actually mean for the worker on the floor if, say, the Wi-Fi keeps dropping?
Well, it means an overemphasis on demanding human sweat without fixing those structural issues is a recipe for systemic failure.
Wow.
Like, if the Wi-Fi in aisle 12 keeps dropping, causing the handheld scanners to buffer for 5 seconds every single time a barcode is scanned.
Which feels like forever in that environment.
It does. And it does not matter if the worker is physically sprinting between the shelves. The overall throughput of the building will just plummet.
Because they're stuck waiting on the loading screen.
Exactly. True efficiency in modern logistics is about designing a frictionless system.
Right.
When management blames the floor worker for a drop in the pick rate, but the root cause is system latency,
mm-hmm.
the result is immense frustration.
I can imagine.
You get burnout, you get high turnover, and then the system degrades even further.
Which perfectly explains the massive shift we're seeing in the industry right now.
The tech shift.
Right. Because if human physical effort has a strict biological limit.
Which it does.
I mean, you can only walk so fast, you can only lift so much weight before you just get injured, you eventually hit a hard ceiling.
Oh, absolutely.
So the logical solution to bypassing those human constraints is completely changing the tools. We're talking about the transition from muscles to machines.
And the core tech stack driving this transition is deeply, deeply sophisticated.
Yeah, it's not just barcode scanners anymore.
No, we've moved far beyond simple line of sight scanners. Facilities are governed by overarching warehouse management systems, or WMS, that act as the literal brain of the building.
The brain.
Yeah. And you have RSID technology, which uses radio waves to instantly identify pallets without needing to individually scan every single box.
Now, my personal favorite mechanism from the research is voice picking systems.
Oh, those are incredible.
It's so cool. Instead of a worker constantly looking down at a clipboard or a tablet, they wear this specialized headset,
mm-hmm.
and the system literally speaks to them, guiding them hands-free.
Right.
It says, like, aisle 4, section B, slot 12, the worker arrives, speaks a verification code into the mic, and the system says, pick 2.
It's this uninterrupted auditory loop.
Yeah, but the evolution goes far beyond just guiding humans.
Oh, definitely. It enters the realm of heavy automation. We are seeing massive deployments of AMRs.
Autonomous mobile robots.
Exactly. And these aren't just carts on fixed tracks.
They aren't.
No, they use LiDAR and floor grids to dynamically navigate the warehouse. They dodge obstacles. They ferry goods.
Self-driving cars inside the building.
Basically. Yeah. And then you have ASRS, which stands for Automated Storage and Retrieval Systems.
Okay, I had to actually look up how ASRS works, and it is wild.
It looks like sci-fi.
It really does. Imagine a massive three-dimensional metal grid, maybe 40 or 50 feet high,
right,
packed entirely with these plastic bins. And instead of a human driving a forklift up there, these robotic shuttles just zoom along the X and Y axes of this grid at incredible speeds.
It's so fast.
They dive down, they grab a specific bin, and they deliver it straight to a stationary worker. The worker never even leaves their station.
The product comes to them.
Exactly.
And that completely transforms the nature of the job. The traditional model was manual execution. You walk to the shelf, you lift the heavy box, you scan it, high physical strain.
Right.
The automated model flips the script entirely.
And here's where it gets really interesting, according to the guide. The text states that in these highly automated facilities, manual picking evolves into what they call robot-assisted exception handling.
Yes.
And internal transport becomes traffic coordination.
That's the exact phrasing.
So if I'm understanding the mechanics correctly, the modern warehouse worker is becoming something akin to an air traffic controller for robots.
The air traffic controller analogy is spot on.
Because they aren't the ones flying the planes or, you know, carrying the pallets.
Right. They are monitoring the airspace and troubleshooting the anomalies.
Wow.
The physical strain goes down drastically, but the demand for technical literacy skyrockets. Automation reshapes the role. It does not eliminate it.
Because people always say robots are taking all the jobs.
There's a pervasive myth about that, yeah. That robots are going to empty out the warehouses, leaving them completely dark.
Right.
But the operational reality highlights this fascinating contradiction. As warehouses become more robotic, the human element becomes more about critical thinking, system oversight, and anomaly resolution than ever before.
Because machines are rigid, right?
Exactly.
Like if an AMR encounters a cardboard box that fell off a shelf and is blocking its path.
Or an automated scanner reads a torn barcode.
Yeah, the machine just stops. It doesn't know how to improvise.
It has no common sense.
Right, it sends an alert and a human has to literally walk over, diagnose the exception, clear the error, and get the multi-million dollar workflow moving again.
The human provides the vital adaptability that algorithms lack.
But, okay, with humans now acting as these highly monitored tech overseers in these extremely high-speed robotic environments, what is the actual toll on the worker?
It's significant.
The research dives deep into the risks, the performance metrics, and workforce stability, and the pressure just sounds immense.
It is an incredibly high-pressure environment. The data breaks down safety risks into this illustrative matrix of frequency versus severity.
Okay, break that down.
Well, the most frequent risks are material handling injuries. So repetitive strain, lifting injuries, joint degradation.
Just the physical wear and tear.
Exactly, the wear and tear of continuous motion.
But the most severe risks, the ones that cause, like, catastrophic injuries, stem from equipment interaction.
Right. Getting clipped by a forklift.
Or getting caught in a mechanical conveyor belt.
Yep.
Or falling objects from an unstable rack.
It happens.
Not to mention the environmental hazards, like slipping on a wet floor in a fast-paced cross-docking facility. Or the physiological strain of working an entire shift in a massive cold storage freezer.
And the risk that acts as a multiplier for all of these hazards is human error under intense pressure.
And the pressure is heavily quantified in the source.
Really heavily.
The research outlines a typical dashboard of performance metrics, and honestly, these numbers are daunting.
They really are.
A pick rate expectation of 120 items per hour.
Think about that math.
That means a worker is scanning, grabbing, confirming, and placing an item every 30 seconds. Nonstop.
Yeah.
An order accuracy expectation of 99.5%.
Yeah.
A cycle time from the moment you click buy now to the moment the box is loaded on the truck of 4.2 hours.
Incredible speed.
And a labor utilization rate of 85%, meaning 85% of your time on the clock must be strictly task-oriented, tracked productivity.
And those benchmarks define success and profitability in the modern fulfillment center.
I have to challenge this, though.
Okay.
Because I look at those mechanics picking an item every 30 seconds for an entire shift while maintaining 99.5% accuracy. And I wonder how a human brain maintains that level of error-free repetition while simultaneously dodging autonomous robots and forklifts.
It's a lot to ask of a person.
Doesn't the relentless systemic pursuit of perfect metrics actually cause the very human errors and safety incidents the operational guys warn about?
That is the central tension of modern logistics, and it's something operations managers grapple with constantly. The research outlines a specific decision criteria framework to manage this tension. It requires balancing severe trade-offs.
Like what?
Throughput versus accuracy, speed versus safety. Do you prioritize short-term speed gains or long-term operational stability?
It sounds like an impossible tightrope walk. Like, if you push the speed dial to the maximum, people make mistakes or get hurt.
And the data makes a definitive claim on this.
What's the verdict?
Overemphasizing short-term productivity leads directly to increased error rates, safety incidents, and ultimately massive employee turnover.
People just quit.
Exactly. And high turnover is the absolute death knell of operational consistency. Long-term stability and retaining trained workers mathematically beats braining people out for short-term speed.
Because an experienced worker who inherently understands the specific quirks of the warehouse management software or who knows the traffic patterns of the autonomous robots will naturally operate faster and safer than a constant revolving door of new hires.
Exactly. Retention directly correlates with reduced error margins. Facilities that treat their workforce as an investment in sustainable throughput, rather than a disposable part of the machine to be maxed out, those are the ones that actually achieve that 99.5% accuracy over the long haul.
So treating the worker as a disposable cog actually breaks the entire machine.
It does.
That brings us full circle. The execution layer of our global supply chain isn't just about massive buildings and automated tracks. It relies on this incredibly delicate balance.
But it really is a balancing act.
It's this fascinating intersection of human adaptability, micro-level operational efficiency, and advanced robotics.
Perfectly said.
When you order that bag of coffee, it arrives the next day. Because an entire ecosystem of technology, governed by highly skilled, technically literate workers, operated in perfect harmony to bridge your digital request with physical reality.
You know, as we look toward the future of this industry, there's one final thought worth pondering here.
Well, lay it on me.
If we follow the trajectory outlined in this research, where warehouse workers are rapidly transitioning from manual laborers to tech-literate overseers of automated systems, we might soon see a future where the primary skill of a warehouse worker isn't really logistics at all.
What would it be then?
It might evolve into something closer to robot psychology.
Wait, robot psychology? Explain the mechanics of that.
Well, think about it. If your primary operational role is exception handling, traffic coordination, and system oversight,
right,
your day-to-day work is going to be spent managing the operational quirks, the network latencies, and the behavioral routing patterns of a fully automated workforce.
Wow.
What happens to the workplace dynamic when your coworkers are exclusively algorithms and steel machines?
That is bizarre.
How do you manage a floor team that doesn't think but only calculates and relies entirely on you to interpret the gray areas of the physical world?
That is a wild concept to think about.
Yeah.
We're going from moving cardboard boxes to managing the mechanical minds of the supply chain. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Next time you hit that buy now button, we hope you think about the massive living computers executing that code and the human overseers keeping the robots in line. We'll see you on the next one.